Praise the Lord.
Great stories from the Bible, right? Here's how I felt led this time, this week. Moses. Oh, if you're going to talk about Moses, there's a lot to talk about. Just like we took a tidbit from the life of Joseph, there's lots to say about Joseph too. So we're going to have to take just a section out of it. I'm going with what the Lord led me to. We're going to talk about Moses and the burning bush. If you're not familiar with the story, we're going to read this part of the story. We'll just jump in. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn.' So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground.' Moreover, he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.'" And we'll stop there. Moses was born in Egypt. The children of Israel, all of the Hebrew people were in Egypt, serving as slaves. They had already been there some 400 and something years. Quite an amount of time has passed since Joseph saved his family. They all moved there. This entire nation of Hebrews are the descendants of those 12 sons of Israel and their families. They've been there over 400 years. At the time that Moses was born, the Pharaoh, was concerned that there are so many of these Hebrews, pretty soon they're going to be strong enough to overthrow the Egyptians militarily, and we can't have that. So he commanded that all children be exposed, I think is the term that was used, put out in the elements to die. In other words, not directly killed, but they would just put them out there in the bush and see if they survive, and they don't. At that time, when Moses was born, his parents recognized, and the term used is a good child or a goodly child, and I looked that up a little bit and so on, but let's just suffice it to say for now, they recognized the calling of God on his life. And they put him into the Nile River in a swampy area where there was bulrushes. Pharaoh's daughter comes along, spots him. Somehow her heart goes out to this little child, and Moses is raised in the Pharaoh's house and raised as a stepson, so to speak, raised in royalty, as a matter of fact. So we're picking up the story many years later. He's in the desert. We know that Moses was born with a calling and a purpose on his life. And here he is out in the desert. What happened? How come this calling on his life wasn't active and wasn't accomplished up to this point in time and so on? Nonetheless, every once in a while, somebody refers to an experience, a meeting with God, and they call it a burning bush experience. You ever hear that term used? God reveals himself and shows himself to you, and you feel like it's so holy and awesome, you got to take your shoes off and all of that. So people relate to this. I've seen t-shirts worn by Christians that say something about Burning Bush University. And what they're talking about is, I didn't learn in a school, I learned it out in the wilderness, that kind of thing. People tend to think about Burning Bush experiences as a turning point in life, a amazing and wonderful, and it is, of course, amazing and wonderful occasion when God reveals himself, speaks to you. It's miraculous, it's supernatural. The angel of the Lord was involved in this here, and Moses, his whole life is directed, and God engages him with a mission, and I'm sending you to go do this thing. So, how exciting to have a burning bush experience, right? God sends you out with a mission for your life. Again, Moses was called from birth. This is sometime later. The calling that was on Moses' life, as expressed here in the burning bush, is that he's sent to deliver or to save the Hebrew nation from slavery, to take them out of Egypt. God's going to save them, but he's going to use Moses to do it, right? So, I have a question for you. Some will know the answer to this. How old was Moses when he had occasion to be visited by God in the burning bush? Anybody know? I'm surprised. Okay. He was 80. He was 80 years old when he has an experience with God that turns his life, and he's sent out on the mission that he had from birth. I come to realize there was a calling on my life really somewhere, I don't know, 22, 23, 24, in that area, right? And typical of all who are young, you heard the call, let's go, and you wonder why 6 weeks later you're not wonderfully effective and successful and have accomplished all that God has called you to do. I got a calling. That's it. That's everything, right? There are people in the room here who have callings, and you've known it, and it's on your life. Yet, you might be like Moses in the desert with a bunch of sheep. What is up with that? How long, Lord? You got this calling on my life. How long? What if he told you, well, when you turn 80, we're going to get this thing started? I like some of these stories because my daddy here, he's 81 now. So, Dad, you can get this thing started now. Amen. Which, by the way, I've mentioned earlier at offering time, we have commercial building and so on, all that. We've been doing these projects here at church, at our commercial building remodeling and so on, and we needed cleaning staff for the areas at our commercial building and all that. Well, we've been working the pants off of my mom and dad. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
And last week, my mom said something to me that I just rejoice over. She said, all that I've had my dad doing, and to a point, if he's physically capable, I'll let him carry stuff, heavyweight, whatever, you know, I'm not going to injure him or anything like that. But she said, I think he's getting stronger and stronger. She said to me, I think this has been good for him to be so active. And she said, he used to have to sit down, rest a little bit, and take naps. And she said, he doesn't do that so much anymore. He's getting stronger. Amen. And he'll keep getting stronger. Praise the Lord. The scripture says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Just like, say, financial prosperity, you need to see somebody doing it so you can have hope that you can too. Well, here's somebody living long life and being satisfied. And you just say, me too.
Me too.
Me too. Praise the Lord. So, I guess it's a bit of a shock to you all, but Moses was 80 when the burning bush happened. And I know all of us are hoping for something good to happen before 80. That's a long time to wait, right? So I asked the question, do you have to be 80 before God can appoint you and send you? No, you don't have to be. And here's kind of the point of all I'm going to be talking about here today. You don't have to be 80, but you have to be ready. Moses had 80 years of preparation for the moment of his life. I don't think he had to be 80. I think if there was a delay in his life, it was Moses, not God. If there's a delay in your life or my life of reaching that moment where it all turns and so on, if there's a delay on that, I think it's you. I think it's me, not God. You don't have to be 80, but you have to be ready. So I titled my message, Ready for a Burning Bush Experience. Are you ready for a burning bush experience, or is more preparation necessary? Look at Matthew 22, verse 14. Jesus said something that still to this day is a little troubling to me. I can't exactly say everything that it means and what all Jesus meant, but nonetheless, he said it. And if he said it, it's so. But look at this, Matthew 22 and verse 14. Many are called, but few are chosen. There's a whole lot of people with purpose and calling on their life and anointing on their life. They're called, but they may never reach the point of being chosen. And I suppose I'm comparing Moses here. That calling was there his first 80 years, but being chosen didn't happen until he met God at the burning bush. Having a calling on your life is one thing. Being sent out by God is another. And many are called. Not so many are sent out. Different ministers from time to time, talking about missionaries or different ones in ministry, you know, they'll say something along these lines, you know, some were sent and some just went.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of folks claim a calling on their life, and I'm doing this because I have a calling on my life. Well, you may, but are you ready and are you sent? You want to wait till God sends you. Because you go forward without the blessing of God. That happened, the children of Israel, the Hebrews, when Moses did deliver, and they said, we can't take this particular city, and they shrunk back, and then the pronouncement came, okay, you're not going to take the city? You don't trust God? You don't believe God? Fine. It's too difficult for you? This actually was the taking of, was Jericho the first city to take? That they were sent, and they said, they sent spies in the land. They're too difficult for us, and so on. And God says, okay, fine. 40 years until this generation dies off. Then you can go. And they all said, oh no, okay, we'll go. We'll go now. And they went into the land, and they were not sent. And they were not blessed. And a bunch of them got killed. And they had to hightail it back out. Wait till you're sent. Wait till you're sent. You can't just, okay, we'll go now. No, it don't work like that. Wait till you're sent. Then it says this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. But in a great house that are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Anybody besides me want to be useful for the master, but you notice you've got to be prepared for every good work? Yeah. It took Moses 80 years to get prepared for his sending out. This is what I'm talking about, being prepared to be useful for the Lord, being sent out. coming to your moment, to your burning bush experience where God sends you. Do you know, up until God sends you, everything you're involved in is His preparation. He will take you through some very difficult experiences for your preparation. To learn how to trust Him, to learn how to walk by faith, to learn to get out the Word and fall on your face and realize you got nothing going for you except the Word, and you stand on it, and you speak it and say it, and you tell Satan, get behind me, I am staying with the Word, come hell or high water, this is the direction I'm going, following God. God will let you go through those experiences. Why? They prepare you. God will let you go through a little bit of what people call hell on earth to grow you and learn you. But if you're following the Word, even though you go through those things, like the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. It is a walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'd just as soon skip that valley. How about you? But a walkthrough is appointed, that you learn to trust God. In the presence of my enemies, He prepares a table before me. Why don't we toss the enemies out and just have a party without them present? No, He wants, in the middle of enemies, to set you down and feast you, even though they're yelling and screaming in your ear behind you. Yeah, God will take you through things to prepare you. You learn how to walk by faith. So we have to become useful and prepared. It took Moses 80 years to become useful and prepared. Now, again, he was raised in the house of Pharaoh's daughter as one of their own, as if he was a royal son. What does that mean? That means he received all the best education and training that the Egyptians had. You can see this historically. They were a highly developed society. They had great accomplishment in engineering and science. They had great accomplishment as the superpower on the earth militarily. So Moses would have been trained, classically trained, intensely trained in engineering, in science, in politics, and in warfare. He was being groomed to be the next Pharaoh. So he would have been brilliant in all of these things. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 7, verse 22. We'll see some more light on our story here as accounted in the book of Acts. I believe, if I remember right, it's Stephen recounting this story just before they stone him. He's telling the details here. Acts 7, 22. It says, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Okay, Moses was mighty in words and deeds. And of course, if you recall, when I stopped reading in Exodus there at the point where Moses starts responding to God, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, you're going to deliver my people. Moses starts saying, gee, Lord, really, would you send somebody else? And he starts talking about, I can't speak. It's thought that he had a stuttering problem and so on. And God says, okay, I'll get your brother to be your spokesman and so on. Moses talks about himself like he's very incapable. But the truth is, he was extremely capable in word and in deed. But experiences that happened to him had him so beat down that he began to stutter. So Moses is a trained and powerful man. Moses' life can be divided into three time periods. Each of them are 40 years. First 40, second 40, third 40. The first 40 years, he was in Egypt. The first 40 years of his life, he was trained up this way, and he was a powerful man. And again, he was trained to be a warrior, trained to be a builder, trained to be a leader, and trained to be a writer. He would read and write. And a lot of people wouldn't in those times, but he would read or write. So he had a full and broad and the best education possible. Even though he's mighty in words and deeds in the Egyptian world, he never forgets he's a Hebrew. He never forgets that. He knows he's with the Egyptians, but he's not one, even though he's trained up to be one. Verse 23 in Acts 7 says this next. Now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren. So he goes to see his people when he's 40. When he's 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. Means he killed him. So an Egyptian taskmaster, slave driver, beating on a brother Hebrew, Moses says, I'll have none of that, and he kills the Egyptian. Hand to hand, sword, I don't know what exactly, but don't think that Moses was not a capable warrior. He probably trained a lot in this realm. So he kills the Egyptian. Then look at verse 25. And note what it says. We'll come back to it later here. But it says, for he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. So we know here already, Moses at 40 in killing the Egyptian understands that there's a calling on his life to deliver his brothers. Moses knows this at 40, right? So that calling was there at birth. At 40, he knows his calling. That he's going to set them all free. He's going to deliver all of them. Verse 26, and the next day he appeared to two of them, that's more Hebrew brothers, as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, men, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one another? But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, who made you a ruler and judge over us? In other words, yeah, you're a Hebrew, but you're no Hebrew. And who made you somebody to talk to us, right? Then verse 28, do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday? Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. Midian was that desert where the burning bush was. So this Hebrew brother says to him, what, you're going to kill one of us like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? And then Moses understood this thing was not a secret. And this guy is willing to be a blabbermouth and has rejected Moses. So it's only a matter of time. The Pharaoh's going to find out. And the Pharaoh will think, we raised you to be one of our own and you've turned on us. And Moses knows his life is worth nothing in Egypt. And he flees and runs away. So the very thing he felt called to do, the calling on his life, deliver his brothers, is rejected by this brother. And Moses says, I'm out of here. Right? So Moses retreats to the desert. And as it mentioned there, he finds a wife, has sons, and he spends the next 40 years being a wander the wilderness family man, not having anything to do with anybody. If you're a shepherd out in the wilderness, you don't have anything to do with anybody. He has retreated and gone away and is hiding himself from everything. That's where he spends 40 years. So, at 80 years old, Moses has the burning bush experience. At 80 years old, the Lord calls. We'll pick up Acts 7:30, the Acts account of the burning bush experience again. 30, it says, and when 40 years had passed, So 40 years in Egypt and 40 years again. He's 80. When 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight. And as he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses trembled and dared not look. Then the Lord said to him, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt. So I ask the question again. Why then, at 80 years old, does this calling and sending come? The Lord says, I will now send you. In other words, up until now, he's not been sent. He's called, but not sent. Called, but not sent. Why was he not sent? He wasn't ready. His preparation wasn't complete. Apparently, at 40, he thought he was ready. He wasn't ready. Anybody besides me ever thought, yeah, Lord, I'm ready. Come on, let's go. And you're not ready. But you don't know you're not ready. And you can get quite impatient with the whole thing, right? Now remember, all of his natural training in Egypt, in warfare, in building, in reading and writing, in leadership, everything he went through, that was part of his preparation. Because Moses is going to end up leading them in warfare. He's going to end up being a great leader. He's going to end up being a writer of the scriptures. Right? So all of these things Moses is going to need. And so see, there's a natural side and a spiritual side to preparing for God's use. Your schooling that you might go to if you're called in that direction, God will use it later. I used to be a professional builder. God is using it in my life now as a ministry function. But I had to go out and learn how to build, right? So God will take you through, in some cases, a lot of natural training and a lot of natural preparation. Some of it is very natural. But then he'll use it for spiritual purposes. Other parts of training are not what you might call book knowledge per se and experience learning and so on, but they're character development. I guess I would say this, the first 40 years, Moses learned all the natural things he was going to need to know. The second 40 years, Moses learned the character things he would need to know. And I don't know of shortcuts on learning character. Usually, the greatest character is developed suffering over time. If you don't have to walk a walk of faith and patience, you'll never know what it is. You won't live it. The only way to learn a walk of faith and patience is to have some kind of trying circumstances that seems to linger and to linger and to linger, and you're left with nothing to do except keep believing and keep walking forward one step at a time. I don't know what to do except to keep trusting and put in one more step. What are we going to do today? We're going to keep trusting and take another step. Well, what if it doesn't work today? Well, then tomorrow we'll get up and we'll take another step and keep trusting and keep going forward and keep going forward. Well, when were you going to say, that's it, I've had enough and quit? I'm not going to quit. I'm going to take another step and another step and keep going. Well, when are you going to give up on it? I'm not. That kind of character development does not happen by reading it in a book. You don't get it at school. Now, hopefully in your upbringing, parents guide children through. And you know, in a house that has some financial prosperity, parents need to look for how to teach their children to believe and to work and not just hand them everything. Amen. So all the natural training that Moses had in Egypt equipped him for his purpose, but it was not enough by itself. So again, Moses had all this natural training. Boy, was he ready to lead and to fight and to build and all the things and read and write. He had all that natural training. So at 40 years old, he's ready, right? Because he graduated out of school. No. Principle number one, the work of God is not accomplished by the wisdom of men. Boy, Moses had it. All the wisdom of man you could have on the earth at that time. But the work of God is not accomplished by the wisdom of men. He would later use everything he learned in school, so to speak. But school doesn't accomplish the work of God. The wisdom of men does not accomplish the work of God. God may send you to school to make sure you learn these things and know something about it. But that by itself does not accomplish the work of God. On the occasion where he killed the Egyptian, I'm referencing Acts 7:24, seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. Well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is if God would have right then and there started the deliverance of the people, we could say, well, Moses is a great fighter. And Moses is a great leader because he had all of this schooling and all this preparation. And now look at Moses go. And think about it. When he eventually does lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, is it by killing everybody in hand-to-hand combat? Because he's a great warrior? Nope. That's not at all how it was accomplished. So the work of God is not accomplished by the wisdom of men. Number two. Moses would have received all the glory if he delivered the people through violence like that. Moses would have got the glory. Moses would have got the credit. What a great leader. What a great warrior. All of us need to go to school so we can be great leaders and warriors like Moses was. Oh, what a great man. And he was a great man, but not because of this. Not because he killed somebody. So God just couldn't anoint that. Moses would have got the glory. Number two, you cannot suppose the people will understand and approve of your calling and your sending. This is verse 25. We already read this. I told you to pay attention to it earlier. It says in Acts 7:25, for he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. If God calls you and sends you out, and you're doing what God's told you to do, do not expect the people to approve. Do not expect the people to understand. That is a supposition, and Moses made that supposition. I supposed the people would understand, but they didn't. They didn't see that I was called of God to deliver them. If you're going to just read through the Bible. Boy, they attacked Paul, tried to kill him a couple of times. They killed Jesus. They killed Stephen. They killed Peter, the prophets. They're killing everybody that God sends. I thought it was a glory ride. Everybody rejoices over your, whoo, he's called of God, son of God. This is amazing. The whole world going, oh, you are awesome. No, they don't do that. People don't rejoice over your sending, your calling. They don't understand. Don't expect them to. Number three, all work of God is to be done in humility and meekness. I'll call your attention to Numbers 12 and verse 3. Numbers 12 and verse 3. It says, now the man, Moses, was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Here's a guy, the best school in the world, learned everything, the royal training, a warrior, a leader, a reader and writer, a builder, an engineer. He is it. Yet when he rose up in himself to kill a man and set to deliver, no, God would have none of that, because we would be honoring the education of Moses. Well, so Moses ran when he saw that didn't work, and he feared for his life, and he spent 40 years in the desert. What was he doing 40 years in the desert? He was becoming a humble man and becoming the meekest man on the earth. The second 40 years was character development. He learned he is nothing but a dirtbag except for God. Amen. And will the Lord do the same to you and I? Well, it may not be 40 years in the desert, but I promise you, he will help you find out you're nothing but a dirtbag except for him. All work of God, how did I say that? All work of God is to be done in humility and meekness. Patient and loving with people. Allowing God to work. Not going in with your education and your power and your strength. If we were to read how Moses responds to God, he says, "Oh, Lord, couldn't you send somebody else? I can't talk. They don't like me. It didn't go so well last time." I mean, he just comes up with every kind of thing why he can't be the one, right? What a change from that man 40 years ago. And the Lord keeps telling him, "But you are the one, and I've called you, and you're just the one I can use, and I'm with you." "Well, I can't talk." "Huh, okay, your brother can be your spokesman." "Yeah, but how will they know that you have sent me?" And here's one of my favorite things. It's a totally separate message. The Lord says to him, "What's that in your hand?" Some of you have heard me talk about this, especially in Bible school. Your miracle is always already in your hand. When you need the delivering power of God, God will say to you, "What's in your hand?" And God will always use what you already have to bring your miracle to what you need. That means that every one of us are ready for a miracle with what we have in hand already. We don't need God to send us something so we can have a miracle. He works with what you have. He could take a little boy's fish and loaves and make a miracle out of it. He can take a widow's little bit of meal and oil and feed the gang for many, many days. You'll find this throughout the scriptures. Always God says, "What's in your hand? What have you got?" And when you take what you've got and you put it in the hand of God, a miracle happens.
Yes.
In Moses' case, a shepherd's staff became, as it was called, the rod of God. And all the signs and wonders and miracles were done by stretching forth the rod, or striking with the rod, or touching with the rod. What's in your hand? God will take what you have and turn it into the arm of the Lord, the rod of God. Just one of my favorite parts of that story. So I always know if I need a miracle, I've got a seed for that miracle already in my possession. I just got to find out what it is and give it to God. So Moses had become the meekest and humblest of men. Those 40 years he thought about it, and he came up with every reasoning why he was not the one, yet he obeyed God. Said, "All right, you send me." And boy, was he a different man when he went back to Egypt. Marched right up to Pharaoh and tell him, "God says, let my people go. And if you don't, there will be consequences." What a different man. And Moses took his rod, but it wasn't his violence of taking a life. It was miracles of God that delivered the people. Amen. And this morning I woke up and the Lord told me there's one more to add to this. There's a fourth. Here's the fourth one. Moses had to recover from a failure. It took him 40 years to recover from a failure in his calling. "But I was called and it didn't work. This is the last time I'll ever do that. It took him 40 years to recover from a failure. I hope it doesn't take me 40 years. Recovering from a failure. But nonetheless, the principle stands. You may stretch out in the calling of God and experience a failure. That's not the end. Well, people said all this stuff. Don't heed that the people. Don't take what the people say as a lesson. I thought they would understand. They don't. Amen. And if you have a failure, it's not over. Get up again. Amen. A few weeks ago, I was asked about a book I referenced some years ago. Brother John Maxwell wrote a great book, Failing Forward. All great accomplishments had failures leading up to them. And if you have a failure, get up and go again. Learn something from that failure. Make every failure count. Then it's not a failure. It's a learning experience. Edison talked about all his experiments for the light bulb, 900 and some experiments. How many failures? Not one. He claimed not a single failure. Every time a filament didn't work, he says, I successfully learned that that thing will not make a failure, or will not make a light bulb. That filament. Everyone was a success. That's not it. That's not it. That's not it. So have you had some failures? Recover. Recover. Get up and go again. Then you're ready to be useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Praise the Lord. And ready for the burning bush and the voice of God to send you out. Amen? Amen. Father, we just bless you and thank you for this story concerning Moses and the principles that we see and we can learn from today. And I speak blessing in this house over every person here. We have had our share of failures. We are learning from them. We're going forward. We're continuing. We're putting one step, one foot in front of the other and continuing in faith. And it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. The success where God will bring about a mighty deliverance. Yeah. Our callings will come to pass and we'll be sent. We'll be sent out in Jesus' name and mighty and effective as we go. And Father, we thank you that you're never too old. Never too old. Never too old to be mightily sent and used of God. So, Father, we thank you for these things today. In Jesus' name, amen.